The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, episode 26. Hello there, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers. I know I missed you all last week, but I had an amazing weekend in San Antonio. It was a birthday weekend for me, and I spent it with my girlfriend, and it was awesome. So though I'm glad to be back behind the microphone to talk about what has gone on this last week. But before we do that, I want to remind you guys about the store at coffeebreakliberty.com. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page, there is a tab for the store, and I want you to click on that tab, and you are going to see the best mugs you can buy. The best mugs. And I know they're the best because you are going to have Coffee Break Liberty logos on them, other libertarian-esque and anarchist-type symbology and phrases and quotes. So I want you to go to coffeebreakliberty.com and check out the store. But when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, wait around for about 10 to 15 seconds and you'll get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for that newsletter because I'm not going to send out newsletters so you don't have to worry about your inbox getting spammed. But you will get a discount code when you sign up for that newsletter to get 10% off of your first coffeebreakliberty.com store purchase. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com, sign up for that newsletter, and get yourself a mug. So this week's topic is, well, what's going on in the news? And that's just about one thing. And that's what happened in Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks. And it just exploded last week. So for those living under a rock, let me catch you up. For months now, we've talked about the United States wanting to pull troops out of Afghanistan, and we applauded Joe Biden and Trump for making that call and kind of pushing forward with that. And it's been a work in progress. Well, this last week, the Taliban just rolled over the Afghan government forces, and it wasn't even a fight. It was about 75,000 Taliban fighters versus, on paper, 300,000 Afghan government forces. And essentially, they just dropped their weapons and left. This shocked a lot of people. But I'm telling you, for those that have been there, for those that spent time there, this is what's been going on for the past almost decade. The Taliban calls up Afghan National Army checkpoint or their Border Patrol checkpoint or whatever government agency checkpoint. They call the commander and say, hey, we're going to come attack. The commander pretty much says, all right, that's fine. He gets his guys to drop the weapons. They walk away. Taliban comes in, takes the weapons. Nobody died. Nobody cares. You know, it sounds sad and pretty weak to a lot of people. You know, these guys aren't defending their country, but you have to realize that Afghanistan isn't really a country. It's a place with 5 different languages, hundreds, if not thousands, of different tribes that don't get along, with lines drawn on a map. They don't consider themselves Afghan. They consider themselves whatever tribe or village they're from. So when you're trying to make a cohesive government and a country like that, it's just not going to work. They're very tribal people. Most of them don't even know where Afghanistan is on a map. And a lot of people were amazed, like, oh my gosh, the Taliban moved so quickly. You have to understand, too, that the Taliban was already living in these cities. It's just once they saw the opportunity, they're like, oh crap. They grabbed their AK-47s, put on their hats, and grabbed their flags and said, okay, we run the show now. That's how they took over everything so quickly. They were already there. And a lot of them were Afghan forces, is what it looks like, because we're seeing a lot of these Taliban fighters use very similar tactics and handle their weapons the way that NATO and U.S. forces would have taught them to. So no telling how many of them were actually already Afghan government forces just waiting for the U.S. to leave so they can put their Taliban hat on. We saw how fast Kabul fell. It fell without a fight because Karzai, the previous president the previous president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, he was in cahoots with the Taliban. He was talking to him. He's still there talking to him now. He helped negotiate the peaceful transfer of power. He's still in Afghanistan. The current president, or I guess the ousted president, I can't remember his name. He didn't last too long. He left. He fled. He's in the UAE right now, probably in Dubai or somewhere in the UAE, just, oh well, sipping a Mai Tai. He's doing okay. He's got tons of cash. He ain't hurting. And now the current leader of the Taliban, whose name I will butcher, I won't even try it. But the current leader of the Taliban, you know, he's, I'm not trying to say that the Taliban are going to, you know, they're going to be brand new people. It's going to be actually better than the Afghan government, which it won't be. But let's not lie and think the Afghan government was that great. But the current leader of the Taliban has actually been around for a while. He was, you know, kind of one of the upper echelon guys in the initial invasion in 2001. He wanted to turn over Osama bin Laden. So the United States has a lot of history with that, this guy. He was then captured and he spent about 10 years in Guantanamo Bay, and then he was traded in the Sergeant Bergdahl trade during the Obama administration. He was one of the five, I believe it was. May have the numbers wrong, but he was one of those guys that was traded. He was also the guy that initiated the peace talks and the ceasefire with the Taliban and the United States. Like I said, I'm not trying to say this guy's a saint. He's not a saint. He's a warlord. But the U.S. has a lot of history with this guy. And now he's running the Taliban. We'll see kind of what happens. Reports coming out today. You know, it looks like same old Taliban. Like they may have even burnt down an amusement park because, you know, you can't have too much fun. Those Western devils and their fun. But it's important to keep in mind, you know, you see things like, oh, this guy was handed over during the Obama administration. Yeah, okay, fair enough. That's true, but if you're just going to say that, the guy is 50-something years old, and he's been in the Taliban for a long time. You need to understand what his role is, what he's done. You can't just say, oh, he was traded during the Obama administration. There's a lot more to it than that. Don't let Fox News dictate your thought process. I want to kind of hit on, you know, a little bit of my experience over there. So for the past, well, pretty much 15 years, right, since I started working and, you know, was quote-unquote an adult, you know, since the age of 18, 17 really is when I left the house, I have spent about 50% of my time since I left the house at age 17 over in either Iraq or Afghanistan. People have spent a lot more. I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm an expert on this, that, and the other, because, you know, all I saw was my little microcosm, you know, my window, which wasn't the whole scope. And in all my time over there, there are still places I never went. But this is something that should not come as a shock to people that were there. That's one thing I don't understand, and this may be a little bit of a therapeutic thing, but I just don't understand why some people are so shocked that this happened. I understand if you're like, man, this happened a lot quicker than I thought. I did not think it would happen this quickly. I'm surprised that anybody thought this Afghan government was going to last. And here's, spoiler, the Taliban isn't going to last either. I'll get into that in a minute. But the Taliban in its current state owning everything, that's not going to last either, if I had to guess. But yeah, I'm just very kind of shocked and thrown back that, you know, many people that spent a lot of time over there are, oh, how could this happen? What do you mean, how could this happen? If you are honestly wondering how this can happen and you spent time over there, I don't know what to say. You weren't paying attention. You weren't paying attention. And I get it. It's tragic. It's horrible that some of our friends didn't come back for this. You know, some of our friends died over there. They lost their lives for nothing. Maybe I'm cold-blooded and I just processed this a long time ago and I realized that this is what it was going to be, that my friends were dying for nothing a long time ago. I never had any illusions of that, though. But it's sad to say that that's just what happened. And stop any terrorist attacks at home. The politicians in the United States wasted the lives of thousands. I mean, really, interrupted the lives of millions, destroyed thousands, hundreds if not more thousands of lives for nothing. So companies like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Northrop Grumman could sell more weapons. so politicians could line their pockets while my generation goes off to fight and die in some place nobody cares about, trying to install a democracy. Get out of here. And like I said earlier, you know, this is the way these people are in Afghanistan. This is not, they've been fighting forever and they're going to continue to fight forever. That's just the way they are. It doesn't make sense to us in the West because we're not that way. It doesn't compute to us. But honestly, the way we live, not fighting all the time, doesn't compute with them either. It doesn't make sense. Like, what do you mean you don't go and kill people over a cell phone? Yeah, we don't do that in the United States. Like, in the West in general, people don't kill each other over a cell phone. In Afghanistan, yes, they will. They'll kill each other over a cell phone. Life is cheap. And that's why I don't think it's going to change over there, you know. It, like I said, kicking out the Afghan government. Yeah, the Afghan government was slightly better, but not much. Not much at all. The number one job for the Afghan police for the last 4 years, their number one job assignment was going to track down women and girls. You know, so people are talking about, oh, the women's rights for the Taliban now that the Taliban are here. Yeah, they're probably going to get worse. I ain't saying they won't. But let's not act like the Afghan government, who is tracking down runaway wives and runaway girls, you know, child brides for these warlords, was any better. Because they weren't. And most of them are just Taliban anyways, is what we're finding out. I also want to kind of point out, you know, Don't get all upset about Biden screwing this up. It was going to be screwed up from the start. This is honestly one of Biden's greatest accomplishments in his entire life. Because he doesn't have many. He really doesn't. This is Austin, his SecDef, one of his greatest accomplishments as well. I think Austin's the SecDef. Doesn't really matter. They're really bad at what they do. They've been bad at what they do for decades. But they got the U.S. military. Now, of course, they screwed it up too. But they got them out of Iraq. Out of Afghanistan, rather. Pulling out of Afghanistan. Now, of course, they screwed it up so badly that they had to put people back in to defend getting out. But they got the military out. And people are, oh, well, that's just some political blah, blah, blah. So what do you mean it's just some political? No, it's your sons and daughters' lives. It's not just some political point. It's the lives of Americans being wasted. You know, I've seen a meme go around lately. You know, thank you, veterans, because for the past 20 years you protected us and blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying don't thank the veterans, but don't lie about what they did. Don't lie about what I did. My friends died over there not defending freedom or protecting the U.S. That's what we thought we were doing when we went there, but that's not what we died for. We died for the paychecks of people that work at like Lockheed and Raytheon and companies like that. We died for somebody else's bottom line. And people are worried about the image too. Oh, well, now the U.S. doesn't look as strong. And now the allies don't think that highly of the U.S. Good. I don't care what they think. Don't care. Maybe then the next time that the United States tries to get all, you know, let's invade some other place, maybe the allies will be like, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't. Instead of support the idea. Afghanistan was a royal disaster, and it was always going to be. And so was pulling out. And the Taliban was going to take over. They said they wanted to do that for 20 years, and guess what? They did it. Don't worry about the image of the United States military. Come on. Who cares? Oh, American interest. Yeah, that's what you want your sons and daughters dying for. American interest. Oil fields in Iraq. Or to make sure a DMZ is secure in Korea because those morons can't get their stuff together after 60 years, 70 now. That's what we need, you know, our sons and daughters to die for some other country that most people can't find on a map. So the question is now, right, what happens next? What do we look forward to next? What's going to happen next in Afghanistan, if anybody cares? If you don't care, hey, I don't blame you.
But I believe, I think it's going to kind of go back to what it was in the 90s before the invasion in 2001. You're going to have different sects break off. You're already seeing it right now in the Pashmir province, and the Northern Alliance, the former area of the Northern Alliance, seems to already be consolidating. The Taliban had to take out a warlord in Herat because he was already trying to break off, and they had to kill him. So we're already seeing it. Different tribes, different sections, different little tribal alliances, they're going to break off. Everybody just grabbed the Taliban hat and flag because it was the closest thing to grab. And okay, now we're a united front against the Afghan government puppet state. Good. But now they're just going to go back to their old tribal ways. So you're probably going to see a Northern Alliance up by Mazyar Sharif in Uzbekistan. That's always been there. It's always been there. They speak a different language. It's a totally different culture. They don't relate to the Taliban at all. In some of the provinces, not too far from Kabul, actually, you'll see some different tribal stuff there. And they'll be fighting the Taliban for tribal reasons going back, you know, thousands of years. It will be the Pashtun tribes versus the other tribes in the region. And keep in mind that there's different, like, tribal and sects in the Pashtun tribal system. And their laws are thousands of years old. Their laws are actually pre-Sharia law. That's how old they are. You'll see it way out west as well. You'll see sections break off over there. The Taliban will lose control of the west because they relate closer to Persians. They don't relate to the Pashtun tribes of the east. Totally different cultures, totally different tribal systems. Heck, even different languages. You're going to see these tribes just break apart. You know, they'll ditch the Taliban flag here soon enough. All we can hope for, and I don't know what else we can really do. There are some organizations out there trying to help, but if you want to go find them and donate to them, by all means do it. But all we can hope for is, you know, all these refugees that want to get out can get out. Because it's not going to get better in Afghanistan. It's about to get worse. The one thing we just have to remember, we have to ensure that this doesn't happen to our children. You know, us millennials, us Gen Xers. I'm not Gen X, I'm a millennial. But we have to ensure this doesn't happen to our children. We cannot send them off to some pointless war for 20 years. We can't allow this to happen. The boomers failed. That is one of the things. I try not to get like the whole generation, generations are combating or whatever. But that's one thing where the boomers failed. They saw what happened in Vietnam. They sent their friends off for 10, 15 years to die in that country, and they didn't learn. Then they sent our generation, my generation, the millennials off to go die in some other country. They didn't learn. We have to learn. We have to be better than those generations before us Gen Xers and millennials. We cannot allow this, what happened for the last 20 years, to happen to the next generation. It's awful. And we just have to be better. So the next time the United States starts beating the war drums to invade some country that doesn't matter, doesn't impact the United States at all, doesn't impact your home, call it out. We have to be the pro-peace generation. The boomers failed. They failed. So it is up to us to ensure we get it right. And we will, because we're going to win this. All right, y'all, before I sign off this week, I want to remind you of the affiliate program that I am a part of. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page next to the store tab, there is an affiliate tab. I want you to click on that affiliate and learn about the affiliate program that I am a part of. In short, I'm affiliated with Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting company that, hosts this website and podcast. So I want you to go there, click on that affiliate tab, read about it, sign up for Bluehost through that link so you'll get a discounted rate. And when you use that link, you'll also get free publicity on the podcast, the social media pages, personal pages. You're going to reach thousands of people with your new website, and we should all have a website. Everybody should have a website. So go to coffeebreakliberty.com, use my affiliate tab for Bluehost, and get yourself a website. Just want to remind you guys that every week I'm trying to go live. Next week I will be going live at 9 p.m. Eastern-ish Friday nights. That's the plan. But until then, I hope you all have a great week. I'll talk to you then.